Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is, of course, www.remnantofgod.org. Thank you for tuning in today. As usual, we have a lot to cover, so let's get right to it. Before getting to this week's emails, we had a bit of a busy news week. I'd like to share a couple of articles that I have received. Before reading this article, let me make it clear. I did all the research I could to try to find out if this was a hoax or not. I mean, it seems legit enough to be reported in Britain's Times Online news website. I also found it on quite a few other sites as well as a blog site. People are talking about this as if it's true, and so I can only assume it is. I mean, it's all over the place. I have yet to see anyone come forth to prove that it's bogus. And it's been out there since the 12th of January. So they've had a week, if anybody's going to come up and say that this is all a bunch of malarkey, but it looks pretty legit. So anyway, it's from Times Online. The headline reads, "Believers Go on the Rack to Prove God Relieves Pain," by Ruth Gledhill, religious correspondent for Times Online. The article goes on to say, it says, "People are to be tortured in laboratories at Oxford University in a United States-funded experiment to determine whether belief in God is effective in relieving pain. Top neurologists, pharmacologists, anatomists, ethicists, and theologians are to examine the scientific basis of religious belief and whether it is anything more than a placebo. Headed by Baroness Greenfield, the leading neurologist, the new Center for Science of the Mind is to use imaging systems to find out how religious, spiritual, and other religious belief systems, such as illogical belief in an innate superiority of men, influence consciousness. A central aspect of the two-year study, which has $2 million funding from the John Templeton Foundation, the U.S. philanthropic body, will involve dozens of people being subjected to painful experiments in laboratory conditions while enduring the agony. They will be exposed to religious symbols such as images of the Virgin Mary or a crucifix. Their neurological responses will be measured to determine the efficacy of their faith in helping them to cope. The aim is to develop new and practical approaches for promoting well-being and ultimately maximizing individual human potential. The pain experiments will be conducted under the direction of Toby Collins, who has a background in marine biology and the nerve systems of invertebrates. He said that many people in pain turn to faith for relief. Some look to religious or secular healing systems. He said that the experiments would involve non-invasive simulation of burns and will be conducted according to strict ethical rules. As they suffer, the human guinea pigs will be asked to access a belief system, whether religious or otherwise. Dr. Collins said, "We will simulate a burn sensation to see how people, through distraction or by accessing different strategies, can modulate and reduce the levels of pain." John Stein, a neuroscientist from Oxford's physiology department, said, "Pain has been central to a lot of problems that religious and other thinkers have concentrated on." Professor Stein said that the people differed widely in the extent to which they felt pain. "What we want to do is correlate that with their underlying beliefs. The study is considered of vital importance in the present world climate, given the role of religious fundamentalism in international terrorism. A better understanding of the physiology of belief, the conditions that entrench it in the mind, and its usefulness in mitigating pain could be crucial to developing counter-terrorist strategies for the future. Scientists have long been baffled at the persistence of these beliefs in the face of seemingly irrefutable logic. Professor Lewis Wolbert, the biologist, has speculated in the past that a belief in how the world was created and what happens after death may have conferred an evolutionary advantage. The new center will investigate how people form belief and how the mind works in relations to belief. Scientists will examine what causes people to exchange or rather change their beliefs and how this affects the mind." Lady Greenfield, professor of synaptic pharmacology at Oxford and director of the Royal Institution of Great Britain in Mayfair, central London, said, "To the best of my knowledge, this center will be the first of its kind in the UK, if not in Europe. It brings together equal numbers of academics, from humanities and the sciences approaching the same problem. 2,000 years ago, crucifixion was favored, a favored form of torture and execution. Christians were also sewn up in the skins of wild beasts and dogs let loose on them. The rack was used by the Inquisition, which began in 1232 when Emperor Frederick II issued an edict against heretics. The Spanish Inquisition of the 15th century was aimed originally at Marranos, baptized Jews, suspected of having returned to their old faith. If you have any questions regarding this article, or you would like a copy of this article, just send me an email off to questions@remnantofgod.org so that you can verify its existence as well. So, I ask, why is it torture is in the news so much lately? Well, besides the fact it is a scare tactic for anyone seeking to become Christian, because those that understand prophecy and can relate the same effectively, we all know that Christians will eventually be considered terrorists. And I'm not talking about all Christians either. The grand majority of so-called Christians today are complacent and very unchristlike in all aspects of life. They embrace everything from rock music to Hollywood and a host of other so-called normal activities. I am talking about the people the U.S. government and those working for Satan consider fundies or fanatics. If you embrace the Bible as absolute truth, understand prophecy as well as the biblical health message, and you are one that is no stranger to sharing your faith, you are a problem. Soon you will become a terrorist when the governments of this world decide to go along with the Protestant religions, when they will seek to create their image of the beast in Rome. When the disasters start to hit the pocketbooks a bit too much, as James chapter 5 verse 3 says is inevitable, then you will see a so-called wonderful idea so as to appease God's wrath. Problem is, it's Satan that's causing the disasters. But the so-called Christian leaders will be led to believe God is upset because of the sin running rampant on the planet, which is partly true, but it's the end result of sin. Plus, the latter rain will have been falling enough so as to cause the true Christians to go forth as repairers of the breach regarding the broken law of God, you know, in his Sabbath. Large numbers of Christians will embrace the truth and start to file out of the Protestant churches. This, of course, will anger the pastors and the religious leaders. They will need a way to shut up those that are causing a mass exodus out of their churches. And seeing how the disaster card has been played repeatedly by Satan anyway, they now have a way to get the powers that be to listen. Disasters are causing massive drains on many financial and national bank books. The Protestant leaders will suggest a way to appease what they define as God's wrath by suggesting a global Sabbath. So the governments will in fact go along with the idea of a global Sabbath so as to please God, and at the same time stop their monetary problems, so they think. They will make Sunday into an enforced law. If you think that is impossible, you need to study up on what the mark of the beast is, as well as what its image is. Problem with that idea is, that's when they do this in Sunday law, that's when God's real wrath will be made known. And another problem is, the true Sabbath-keeping Christian, Seventh-day Sabbath-keeping Christians, cannot abide to that law any more than Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego could bow down and break the commandment number 2. Of course, the disasters will get worse, and then we will be considered the reason because we're not going along with the national Sunday laws. First, an economic sanction will be placed on all Sabbath-keeping Christians. It's always been the way that, you know, the case with governments. When they want to get their way, they go, okay, let's do economic sanctions first. If that don't work, then force, kill them, you know. And then after the weak ones are weeded out with this economic sanctions, or as the prophecy calls it, they won't be able to buy and sell without getting the mark. Then after the weak ones are weeded out, the remaining souls will be given a death sentence. Is it any wonder you have high-ranking government officials now calling themselves born-again Christians? Christianity will be used by Satan to destroy as many true Christians as possible, and if torture is necessary, it will be done. I mean, this is the reason you see all this Christianity being mentioned in high office. They're getting the people used to the idea. that it's going to be mentioned a lot more. Now, in the article it is stated, while enduring the agony, they will be exposed to religious symbols such as images of Virgin Mary or a crucifix. Those are Roman Catholic images of worship, are they not? No true Christian is going to be affected by that. It was also stated in the article that a better understanding of the physiology of belief, the conditions that entrench it in the mind, and its usefulness in mitigating pain could be crucial to developing the counter-terrorist strategies for the future. Now, did you catch that? 1 minute, they are speaking of using the torture on religious people so as to see if they will have any problems torturing them and if they will be able to access or tap into their God. And then the next minute, they admit it will be used on what they define as terrorists. You know what just happened there? They are openly stating in the article that they'll be using torture on what they just defined as Christian terrorists. I mean, they're not putting a Quran in front of the people, are they? No. They're not putting a picture of Allah or Muhammad. They're putting what they think is Christian symbols, like the Virgin Mary or some crucifix, which are both Catholic images. You know, one thing I did appreciate here in this is the sheer stupidity, for lack of a better word. For all those true remnant Christians that are listening, understand this. You know a crucifix and a statue of Mary are in no way something you consider godly in any way, shape, or form. And do they actually think that God Almighty is going to play along with their plans? I mean, think about that simple fact for a minute. They think God is a puppet that they can pull on, you know, strings and get him to do things at will. They think they can sneak a so-called Christian volunteer into their lab torture chamber, inflict torture to them, and then ask them to ask God for strength, as if God wasn't watching the whole thing happen in the first place. God doesn't see them walking into the laboratory or nothing. He just figures, okay, let's get these people in here and then start torturing them and get them to access God. You know, fact of the matter is, folks, if you are a real Christian, you would never walk into a lab as a volunteer. Our Lord plainly stated in His Word that we should never put the Lord thy God to a foolish test. I mean, this would be no different than a Christian jumping off a high tower and on the way down praying, Lord, I've got 50, 40, 30, you know, 20 you know, feet to go before I drop. Please save me. Rest assured, the only thing that's going to break your fall is the concrete. The Lord cannot be mocked. And He most assuredly is not going to help the minions running amok with a way to beat His children down. Yes, the Lord does bless His children with power no man can imagine in situations like this. You read about it in the Fox's Book of Martyrs about people dying with smiles on their faces as they're being burned to death. You know, if He wants, He can quench the flames, stop the mouths of lions, and even stop the planet from orbiting for an entire day. But if He chooses to allow His child to die, He most assuredly will give that child all the help they need to stand before the Roman Catholic prelates to proclaim Christ is risen and Christ will come again. Now, this next article is, well, it's a bit annoying, if to say the least. It's about the Vatican's approval of Harry Potter. In Acts chapter 8, we read that there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. You know, this is Simon Magus that it's talking about. Now, Simon the sorcerer was an evil man. He even tried to purchase the Holy Spirit, as the book of Acts declares later in that same chapter. The reason I'm bringing this up, Simon the sorcerer, is because just recently, we see the Vatican proclaim its acceptance of Harry Potter and his evil sorceries through Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, a once member of the Vatican's Pontifical Council for Culture. Later, I'll share with you some shocking connection between Simon the Sorcerer and the man in the Roman Catholic Church calls their first pope, namely Simon Peter. Now, Zenith organization is reporting on this article. The headline is, "In Defense of Harry Potter, Professors Defend Fiction's Famous Wizard." St. Paul, Minnesota, March 16th. Monsignor Peter Fleetwood made headlines around the world when he appeared to give the Vatican's official blessing to the Harry Potter series. at a news conference, February 3rd, on a Vatican document on the New Age, he was asked about the fictional adolescent wizard, Monsignor Fleetwood, who helped the New Age document when he was a member of the Pontifical Council for Culture, responded, "Harry Potter does not represent a problem." Doesn't represent a problem? Harry Potter, these stories are jam-packed with witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, white magic, and other evil activities. It appears to me that the Vatican has gone off the deep end here. Sad thing is, this isn't the first time Harry Potter has been accepted by Rome. From the Catholic Journal, titled First Things, they reported back in January of 2000 that Alan Jacobs of Wheaton College described the novels as a great deal of fun. Their magic as charming. And added, there is in books like this the possibility for serious moral reflection. The problem I see is that most loyal Catholics are once again ignoring the obvious. What will it take to open the eyes of the children of God trapped in this church? Seriously. Look at what all of us have seen recently. In March of 2000, Pope John Paul admitted to the world that this Roman Catholic Church was solely responsible for killing over 500 million Christians during the Dark Ages. Did this massive exodus, did this cause a massive exodus from the pews of the Roman Catholic Church? No. Then documentation is released regarding the fact that the Roman Catholic priests are dying of AIDS 11 times greater than any other group in the United States of America. Does that get the pews emptied in this church? Not yet. Then we see the Vatican condoning child molestation in the way that they allowed certain activities to continue for decades and even remove the zero-tolerance situation from the Vatican itself. Thousands and probably tens of thousands have been molested by these pedophiliacs posing as Christians, and still the pews remain filled. Then you would think that the ultimate sin was committed by the Vatican when it openly proclaimed that Jesus Christ is not needed to gain heaven. They did it on three separate occasions in the last few years. March 20th, 1999, by Cardinal Francis Arens, a man who was slated as the possible next pope. On December 8th, 2000, Pope John Paul II himself said, "You don't need Jesus to gain heaven." And August 12th, 2002, by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, they proclaimed all Catholics need not evangelize Jews any longer. They're guaranteed heaven without accepting Jesus as Savior. Pray for your Catholic loved ones. They are being attacked in such a way that teaches them to accept such evils as the norm in Christianity. I mean, is it any wonder we hear Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, a once member of the Vatican Political Council for Culture, declaring Harry Potter is an accepted pastime for the children of the world? In fact, it is recorded in the Harry Potter article that Fleetwood announced the author of the book, of the Harry Potter books, J.K. Rowling, displayed a Christian manner of writing. I didn't write the article, okay? I'm just reporting as what it says here. The priest not only condones the Harry Potter evils, he is now making them appear Christ-like by proclaiming the author writes in a Christ-like manner. This will, of course, cause even more Catholics and many that trust the Catholic Church to feel no remorse whatsoever when seeking these evil books for their children. Well, did it work? Well, as of, you know, I'd stopped after, like, 2003 in March. I did some research. And there's 40 million, as of then, it's 2005 now, people, as of 2003 in March, 40 million copies of Harry Potter books have been printed so far. You can find these books in over 40 languages and 130 countries worldwide now. Over a million audio versions of the books have been sold as well back 2 years ago. Scholastic, the U.S. publishers of the books, has netted over $200 million in profits from their sale of Satanism to the children of this world so far. And the author J.K. Rowling is now considered the richest woman in Britain. Plus, she is actually the very first billionaire in history to obtain their fortune by writing books, and it's children's books. Is she a witch? You tell me. It appears her satanic spell has been cast, and the world has been bewitched into buying her books and everything attached to them with glee. I mean, if it quacks like a duck. I mean, it says in the Los Angeles Times, October 22nd, 1999, it says it's mind-boggling. It would be easy to attribute Harry Potter's success to some form of magical intervention, says Joan Fywell, scholastic representative quoted in the Los Angeles Times. Diane Robeck, children's book editor, is quoted in the USA Today, December 2nd, 1999, saying that Harry Potter phenomenon is unprecedented in children's literature. A recent Gallup poll found that almost one-third of all parents with kids under 18 have children who have read a Harry Potter book. That's from Breakpoint, July 14th, 2000. Chuck Colson of Breakpoint also stated in 1999 that fantasy tales are harmless, and Rowling's book characters demonstrate courage, loyalty, and willingness to sacrifice for one another. Not bad lessons in a self-centered world. That's from Chuck Colson's Breakpoint, November 1st, 1999. So yes, it appears witchcraft is indeed at play here. Not only the infamous Vatican is stating their approval of this witch and her satanic tales, Chuck Colson of Breakpoint is also throwing his acceptance into the mix. Is this desire to join the ranks of the Vatican spreading? Well, from Christianity Today. In an article entitled, We or Why We Like Harry Potter, back on January 10th, 2000, they stated this. Rowling's series is a book of virtues, with a pre-adolescent funny bone. Amid the laugh-out-loud scenes are wonderful examples of compassion, loyalty, courage, friendship, and even self-sacrifice. No wonder young readers want to be like these believable characters. That is a Christmas present we can be grateful for. Rather ironic how they mention the pagan festival of Christmas with the paganism of witchcraft and Harry Potter all in one breath, I think. Ken McCormick stated in the Baptist Press, July 13, 2000, there is a general nastiness underneath the mantle of cuteness. The kids lie, they steal, they take revenge. This is a disturbing moral world, and it conflicts with what I am trying to teach my children. Amen, Mr. McCormick, amen. In these books, we see a bevy of evil activities being suggested. For example, in the books you'll find bad conduct is rewarded. Foul language is used. Acts of hatred and revenge are frequent. Graphic nightmare scenes run throughout. Demons take control of people. Murders are a frequent occurrence as well. Reincarnation is taught throughout the stories. Demonic creatures and disembodied spirits are the norm. Authentic symbols and objects of Satanism and witchcraft are all over these stories. Infamous spiritualists and false gods of past human cultures are the names for the characters in the books. The satanic art of black magic is portrayed as something all children should aspire to attain. Fortune-telling, crystal balls, and hypnosis are emphasized as a method of higher learning, and each new book is worse than the last. And now J.K. Rowling is planning on introducing an erotic ghost for Harry in her next book. Did she do it? I have no clue, and I don't care. Rowling states in a Conline interview back in September of 99 that Harry is going to have quite a bit to deal with as he gets older. Harry and his friends will be discovering their hormones as they grow older. Rowling actually suggests that in Book 4, Harry sees a number of sensual, erotic ghost women, the most beautiful women Harry's ever seen, as she puts it in the book, Goblet of Fire, on page 103. Does J.K. Rowling show signs of openly allowing demonic influence to direct her work? You tell me. In Reuters, July 17th, 2000, Rowling states, the character of Harry just strolled into my mind. I really did feel he was someone who walked up and introduced himself to my mind's eye. When you look at the demonic activities that are literally on every page of these books, it doesn't take much to guess who it was that strolled into Rowling's mind that day. If you get time, I suggest you investigate the life of J.K. Rowling. You'll find that she was fascinated and studied witchcraft at a very early age. Her childhood friends have been documented stating she would frequently dress up as a witch when she was young. We're out of time for this portion of the broadcast. Got a couple other things I'd like to bring up regarding this Harry Potter situation. And I got a couple of emails that I'm going to share with you in the second half of the show. So please stay tuned to the Truth Provided broadcast.